Tonight we have a teaching on defending the Catholic faith. Father Rick?
I think one of the things that we should be very happy about is that we have been called to this faith. It is not a question that people who do not believe in Jesus won't be saved. If they're good people, somewhere along the line, God will reveal himself to them. Whether they are alive or maybe right after they die, God will come and say, this is the reality, what do you want? And they will have the freedom, I think, to say yes or no. But we have been given the gift of knowing the truth from the very beginning. The reason why we might say God called the people, the Jewish people, sent his son, is because he said, this is the easiest way to get to heaven, because it's laid out for you. You do this and do this and do this with the right intention, you can kind of just walk into heaven. You know. For others, it may be kind of a hit and miss situation. For some, it may be a very difficult path. But you know, people that for years have been native Aborigines in various areas and never heard of Jesus, it doesn't mean that they are lost forever. They try to live a decent life. God, ultimately, somewhere along the line, will reveal himself and invite them to take the choice, to walk the path. But the reality is also that there are those who do walk the wrong path. There are those who are misguided in what Jesus says. And so sometimes we may run into those people that may ask us why we believe what we believe and why we live it the way that we live it. I think that we need to not just jump in on where we are, but we need to find out where they are, what their background is, what their faith, if they have any faith, is. I don't know that we can sit down and have a card catalog of every religion and find out what they believe. As a matter of fact, I actually looked it up. You need a small library is what you would need, because while there are three Christian branches that are pretty obvious, Catholic, Protestant, and Eastern Orthodoxy, there are several groups of Eastern Orthodox that practice pretty much what we practice, but they have some different beliefs and understandings about the faith. Protestantism, especially in this country, in most what we would call civilized people here in Europe, Mexico, there are not just a Protestant church, but there are a number of Protestant churches. They believe that Jesus is God. They believe that he's our Savior. He's believed that he came to teach us. Then under Protestantism, there are other branches that are broken away. You know, we have like Mennonites and the Messianic Jews and people like that that understand that Jesus is somebody important. They may not buy into the fact that he's God or that he's part of the Trinity. They may not believe in the Trinity. The Uniates do not believe in the Trinity. They believe in one God, but they don't believe that Jesus is God. We have lots of different groups. And then you get down to the, I don't want to call them oddballs, but the people that have really weird little groups of how they believe and carry out the message. According to the various governments that have looked to analyze these things, there's something like 45,000 different little churches in Europe, Mexico, Canada, the United States, some of the islands, and they may have a couple of thousand people, maybe a few hundred, maybe less, but they have their own beliefs. So the thing is that when people come, if they have questions about our faith, it's kind of important to find out where they are coming from and what they believe, because they may have no desire really to hear what we have to say. They want to push their faith on us. We can always listen and give them why we are where we are. So sometimes you'll have people come who are just curious as to why we believe what we believe. We have those who are upset with what we believe, want to kind of hit us over the head with a stick so that we would change our minds. And then we have people who are actually interested in maybe becoming a Christian or a Catholic and really want to know all the ins and outs. But it's important to try to figure out where they're coming from. And I think, you know, when we do, then we know that we can talk about the Trinity, or we can talk about Jesus, or we can talk about the church. Probably with most separated brethren, the biggest thing was the Pope, and they did not buy into the fact that he was called by God to continue to lead and guide the church, and we should have our understanding of that. As a side issue, this has nothing to do with that, but on the internet I came across a couple of things that I don't know who is putting this out, but they are having Pope Leo writing these supposedly letters that are changing where we understand the Catholic Church to be. They are hidden letters that he's not revealing to the public, but he's supposedly sending these out to the bishops and all of that stuff. And if you look hard at them, you will find that they are AI documents, artificial intelligence, that somebody's throwing this junk out on the internet and saying this is what the Pope is trying to do, and it's basically figments of somebody's imagination. So if you come across those kinds of things, you'll find it sometimes in a news cast of some sort talking about what Pope Leo is doing to the Catholic Church. And as far as I know, most of it is false. But I think we have to be able to come to people, and I don't think it means that we have to get angry, we don't have to get upset. But I think we have to come and tell them where we stand. Deal with the basic Protestant churches. Some, like the High Episcopal Church, is very close to the Catholic Church and what they teach. Their only difference in many of them is that they don't have anything to do with the Pope. Don't buy that. They believe that the bishop is the one who has responsibilities. They may not quite believe the same thing we do about the Eucharist, but they have baptism, they have confirmation, and they will celebrate the Lord's Supper. And so I think we need to be able to express those things. Others have a different view of some of those sacraments. Some people believe that infant baptism is worthless because the babies don't have any say, so that only adult baptisms, being fully plunged into the water, kind of like John the Baptist, is the only thing that's going to save us. If you do that, there are some of those churches will believe that once you do that, or once you say, I believe in Jesus, or I'm a Christian, or whatever it is you want to say, then you're free to do whatever you want, and you're going to be saved, because that's the grace of baptism, is to save us regardless of our behavior. So I've run into a few of those kinds of people in the course of events, and the fact is they say, I don't have to worry because I called Jesus to be my personal Savior, So I'm saved and I can live whatever way I want. And they can be thieves, they can be people that go out and beat people up, they can be using drugs, they can do anything that they want to do. But because they claim, I have claimed Jesus as my personal Savior, everything is all right. And so we encounter those kind of people, and you know, we don't have to get mad at them. We just kind of have to come along and say, well, we believe differently. And when we find out where people are, then hopefully if we have a grasp of our own faith, we can say this is what is necessary, this is what's important. Now they may not agree, but if they're asking, we can tell them the truth. As I say, sometimes there will be people who are really interested in looking into the Catholic faith as a religion for themselves. Many times they find their own faith or lack of it as a very unsatisfactory way of living. And so there's a hunger there that isn't being filled. When we come and tell them, this is how we live and this is what we do, it may strike a chord, it may not. And I don't think we just have to write these people off. It's probably not a bad thing if you actually encounter somebody like that to pray for them. You never know when God will step in, help them see the validity of not only the Christian faith, but the Catholic faith as well. I think there are many good Protestant and other people of various religions out there in the world. God will save them because, as we've been saying today, God loves us. He wants us to be with Him. And if they have been some way or another misguided, He will give them the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And somewhere along the line, He may call them to a real faith and awaken to them to know who God is. It's always interesting to run into those kind of people who at the last minute have a change of heart and want God to be a part of their lives. But that's the power of the grace of the Holy Spirit. And He wants to do that. And I'm sure that there are people that say no. But there are others who may have been angry at religion for one reason or another, and yet their hearts had been prepared, and then God can move in. I've mentioned this book a million times, I guess, but my descent into death, about a man who was a Christian, and as he grew up, became an atheist. Not a bad person, but just saw no purpose in religion. He came down with a terminal illness and died. And when he died, he was visited in the darkness that he was in by spirits that said, "We're glad to see you. Do we have a place for you?" He was trying to figure out what this was all about. The thing is that after a while, as they were saying, "Come with us," and he said, "I'm not sure I want to come with you," they started to torment him. And then they started to drag him, and they started to pull on him. And he said, "This is not good, you know?" And being raised a Christian in his early life, he suddenly just yelled out, "Lord Jesus, save me," and they just disappeared. A spirit, may have been an angel, maybe it was Jesus himself, he never said, but a spirit came and told him the situation, that he is invited to eternal life. He has to change his life, that there are such a thing as these evil spirits who want his soul. And he says, the spirit said, "I will give you another chance." They were able to revive him on the operating table. He came back. He began to take a hard look at the Christian life. He was not a Catholic, but he was a good Christian. And ultimately, instead of being a professor of art, he went to the seminary and became a minister. He, as far as I know, he's still alive, working down in Louisville, Kentucky, or one of the cities at Frankfurt or someplace as a pastor. But the thing is that God is open to us. And so when people come, I don't care if they're hard-nosed or not, we need to find out where they are, how they understand things, before we go in and say, well, this is what we believe and all that. We need to, if they're interested, if they're seeking knowledge, as I say, sometimes it might be curiosity. It may be because they want to blast us and say all the stuff that you believe is stupid, or they may have a sincere inquiry as to what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a Catholic. So in any of those things, we don't have to be harsh. We don't have to be mean. We don't have to say you're stupid. We just come along and say, this is what we believe. I had a couple people come from a Bible college, and I know the guy wanted me to give up the faith, but we talked for a while, and the more we talked, the angrier he got, because I wouldn't buy what he had to say. But at the end, after about an hour or so, he said, well, it's time for us to go. And I said, okay. I said, well, you're always welcome to come back. And he said, I don't think so. And his wife said, oh, well, we'll see. So she was kind of interested, but unfortunately they never came back. But the fact of the matter is that we are not here to browbeat people. We're not here to condemn them. If people are interested, if people understand who we are, they may be being led by the Spirit for whatever reasons, curiosity, anger, desire. But our call is to be at peace with them and give them a real understanding of why we believe what we believe. When we do that, I think many times we can open up their hearts. It may not be immediately, they may pray about it, it may take years, but many times they will have a change. And sometimes it may be to the Catholic faith, sometimes to just to live a more Christian life. And God accepts all of that. He doesn't reject anybody. He tells us that in the scriptures. It's not that he rejects us. The problem is that we can reject him. And so if we have an opportunity to change a person's look or understanding of who God is, that can be a grace of the Holy Spirit working in our lives.